Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night, so you know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday evening. Rhino in Studio X. He will be the man who, you know, plots the path for our great show tonight. It's one big, beautiful show. They're calling it what now? Oh, never mind. Just our show here on Super Talk Mississippi. Thanks for joining me. You can do it on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. Ready for your winning strategy? Here it is. Join C Spire. All the technology and support you need to succeed at home, at work, and everywhere else. Visit cspire.com today. C Spire, inspired by you. This is a show that could have gone the other way pretty easily. Could have come in here and just been like, all right, just don't even want to talk about it. But instead, it's going to be a happy show because Ace Reese is going to remain at Mississippi State. The rumor mill had been working overtime since basically last Thursday afternoon that Reese was going to consider or possibly enter the transfer portal. But Mississippi State, Brian O'Connor and staff made the push, made it clear, and of course, it didn't hurt that Mississippi State made the biggest offer, and as a result, Ace Reese will remain here at Mississippi State. And that is a massive, that's as big an addition for State as any player, new player they're bringing in. You can't come out and make a comment like, we're going to have this renewed commitment to baseball. We're going to be a big-time baseball program. We went and got Brian O'Connor to be our coach, and we're gonna take baseball more seriously than anybody else. You can't say that and in the same month lose your All-American to a conference rival. You just can't do that. And so they didn't. And, some really smart work by the NIL forces here and say, I don't know how the NIL truly works anymore. You know, a year ago I knew it would be Charlie Winfield. And I think Charlie still plays a large role in things. But between the State Excellence Fund and the Bulldog Initiative, I honestly don't know what's what and which is which. So we'll just say the folks involved in NIL got the deal done before the House settlement became law of the land or law of the time, law of the week, whatever it is. And put together a financial package that, quite frankly, nobody else in the country was going to be willing to match. And, you know, we've had a lot of talk about NIL at Mississippi State over the last few years. And make no mistake, upon Zach Selman's arrival, Mississippi State's NIL was in an awful, awful place. John Cohen had simply left it out to dry. Thought the idea of selling baseballs was going to be what put Mississippi State over the top. Zach Selman has come in and turned this into a real NIL program. And you see the results now in baseball. You see them in basketball. And, you know, never mind the transfers that State brought in basketball. Just keeping Josh Hubbard was not cheap. Football, there's still some work to be done. Not in terms of the finances, just in terms of you can pay guys whatever you want, but if you go 2-10, it's tough to get them to sign on the dotted line. I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever that if year one for Jeff Lebby had been a 5-7, 6-6 year and he'd shown a lot of promise, that State would have probably had a higher rated transfer portal class than they did. But even then, they had a good enough one with the results that they had to make it obvious that money wasn't a big issue for Mississippi State. But with baseball, it's obvious that State has come good on its promise that it made when Zach Selman talked about letting Chris Lemonis go, that, hey, this is an elite program and they're going to start acting like one. They've gone out and hired an outstanding coaching staff, an elite head coach, and now they've put together the nation's top-ranked transfer portal class. We're going to talk a little bit more about that class in just a bit, because they made an addition later today. We'll talk about them in a few minutes. But, you know, Ace Reese doesn't show up on any transfer portal ratings because he was already here, but there was just no bigger fish, no bigger piece to the puzzle than him. And the thing is with Reese, if he had gone, you still have a really good team next year. They still would have been fine, but now we can be serious when we talk about this team should be a contender to go to the College World Series. And if you're at the College World Series, it means you're a contender to win a national championship. This is a team that the roster as it stands right now, and the MLB draft is still to come, and you know, you could lose some pieces there, but one piece of information I've gotten is that this staff plans for contingencies better than the previous staff did. That if they do lose some guys in the draft, they've got backup plans ready and ready to deploy at any moment. So if a guy like Aiden Teal decides he likes his draft position and wants to move on, they've got a guy they can go. They feel like they can go fish out of the portal and bring in and be the next guy. And so you've got to have that because you never know how the draft's going to go. But State's in a position right now with the depth they've accumulated that unless they just have a nightmare scenario on draft day and they just have guys that they're not expecting to get drafted, getting drafted, this is easily a top 10 roster in college baseball next year, potentially top 5 roster, potentially one of the better rosters, the top roster. Wondering where you think Noah Sullivan and Garrick Fry will be drafted. Not sure Sullivan has a potential position defensively. Fry, not really a plus defender, even though they can both swing the bat. I think both of those guys will be drafted in positions that you would think they would come back, but they might just be ready to start their pro career, kind of the same way David Mershon was last year, the way Houston Harding was a few years ago. You know, Fry has a year of eligibility left. But when you look at it right now, he's not guaranteed a starting position at Mississippi State. As good a hitter as he was, but he would have to compete to be an outfielder at with the group that State's brought in. Sullivan's a little different because, as you mentioned, he's kind of positionless. He's just a DH. I don't know. I haven't ever seen him in the field aside from playing as a pitcher, and he's not a good enough pitcher. He's a good pitcher, but not a good enough pitcher to warrant major league interest. But he's certainly a big bat that you would love to have back in your lineup at that DH position. You can bring back Sullivan and Fry and Reese. If Fry is a guy, you're talking about like your fourth outfielder, guy who, you know, starts a spot starter, you know, they're running it. What kind of depth are we talking about? The guy hit 350 a year ago. There's a lot to like about where Mississippi State is, but the thing I like the most is that State said they were going to do this, and now they've done it. Now, you still got to win games, right? You still have to go out and play the games. And you never know, it's the game of baseball, and crazy stuff could happen. But Mississippi State has put together a roster that's going to be favored to win a lot of games next year. I will just go ahead and tell you right now, and if you follow Kendall Rogers on Twitter, when Reese announced he was coming back, he was like, this is an Omaha capable roster. We should have an outstanding year for college baseball next year. When you think about, you know, these three schools, I think Ole Miss got back on track this year. They lost some big pieces, but they've been okay in the portal. And it, you know, the draft might be kind to them. You don't know where Hunter Elliott and Udermark are going to go. They could be in positions where NIL brings them back. Southern Mississippi is Southern Mississippi, just consistent winning. I don't care who leaves and who goes with the Golden Eagles. I just expect them to be good. Year in and year out. And now State looks like it's finally going to achieve at the level commiserate with the success and the expectation level of the fan base. And for me, as I've said before, Mississippi State baseball, my expectation is to compete for championships. My expectation is to be in the top 10 to 15 teams in the country, should be a team that should be hosting most years, and going from there into hosting regionals, to hosting super regionals, to going to Omaha. So the addition of Brian O'Connor and these players didn't change my expectation level for the team. It just gives them a much higher probability of reaching those expectations. You know, I say it all the time. They didn't call the team meeting room the Hoover room. They didn't call it the record crowd room. They call it the Omaha room. That's got to be your standard at Mississippi State. And Brian O'Connor talked about that the day he was hired. And he's talked about it since then in other conversations. And when we get him on this this show or get him on the Thunder and Lightning podcast, I'm sure he'll talk about them then. So one thing I always believe is the standard is the standard, and he's going to do that. Who is your starting shortstop in your opinion? Well, we will talk about that when we come back. Mississippi State active in the transfer portal again today, and I think they may have found that starting shortstop. And that was like the last piece of the puzzle. You felt good everywhere else around the infield. You felt good around the outfield. You got your catcher. Now it's just about finding. It was about finding a shortstop. So Mississippi State went out and found a really good one today. We'll talk about him when we come back and sort of get an idea. Let's take a quick look at what this lineup might look like if the draft goes the way that Brian O'Connor would like for it to go. So we'll do that when we come back. We'll talk some football a little later in the show. As well, some Mississippi State football, as we are just, 2 weeks away. We'll be in media at this day, 2 weeks from, 2 weeks from today is Mississippi State's day at media days. We'll talk a little bit about that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
We all hear the radio app.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
Yeah! Take it!
Yeah! Go on a Wednesday evening. Thunder and Lightning. Great call. So I was asked on the C Spire text line before we went to break, who's the starting shortstop in your opinion? Woodson, who is a Ryder Woodson, the transfer from North Carolina. Wires, who is, you know what? Drew Wires just arrived at Mississippi State via the transfer portal. Drew Wires from Bryant University. These are some pretty insane stats for the guy who was the American East Conference Player of the Year at shortstop. Hit at 407, OBP of 521, slugging of 710. That's an OPS of 1231. If you don't know what OPS is, it's slugging plus OBP. Hit against lefties. He hit 500 with an OPS of, let me get the number again. It was in the 15s, 1.573. I don't know that I've ever seen an OPS that high. Basically, left-handers can't get the guy out is what I'm learning. And when he hits the ball against left-handers, he hits it for power. Double-digit doubles and home runs last year for Bryant. And a pretty decent fielder as well. Fielding, at a 970 clip is what I saw. That's likely to be State's starting shortstop, Drew Wires. And that, you know, you look at this lineup up and down, it's pretty impressive. I mean, you got a lot of power in this lineup. You got a lot of guys who should hit for big averages. They've just got a lot going on here. I mean, Aiden Teal is a guy who should hit well over 300, could lead you off. Wires is a guy who, I mean, he hit 400. So if his average drops 100 points from going in the American East to the SEC, he's still hitting 300. Ace Reese, I think Noah Sullivan will be back. If Blake Beavis survives the draft, he's at first. James Nunnally out there in the outfield somewhere. Maluski somewhere out there in the outfield. Probably Chance is the other outfielder, but it could be the other Valinkas brother. And then Ryder Woodson at second. There's a lot of power and a lot to like about that lineup. That is a really good lineup. What's the quality of pitching in his conference? I won't lie to you, it's poor, but he hit 407. So if you're talking about a guy who played in that conference and he hit 260, I would be worried. But he hit 407, so I feel like he's probably okay. You know, if the numbers are good in a bad conference, usually okay. What do we always say? If you're a good team, you should beat bad teams badly. If you're a good hitter, you should hit bad pitching. hitting 400 is a good indicator for this guy. I mean, you got to really like what you see from him. He just had a monster year last year for a Bryant team. Trying to see what they, you know, that one, I think, won their conference. They were 36-19 overall. Is he not the leading hitter? Oh, okay, I was looking at that wrong. I was like, how is he not the leading hitter? He was. He was the leading hitter on the team. Despite, he also missed the first 3 weeks of the season with an injury. But apparently is all good to go. Guys, this transfer portal class, which isn't done yet, I want to point that out. State is still in the market for at least one more pitcher. Maybe two. They could go for a left-hander if they could get it. But they are targeting a couple of more guys. This is when elite coach meets top drawer resources. This is what you get. And honestly, this is what Mississippi State baseball probably should have been for the last 3 or 4 years in the transfer portal. They had the means. They didn't have the other side of the equation. They had the resources. They didn't have the other side of the equation. Now they do, and now you see what's happening. What about the pitching staff? Can we throw it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got a really good group there. Valinkas, the other Valinkas brother, will be your Friday night guy in all likelihood. He's with Team USA right this second. He's a big left-hander. Ryan McPherson coming back. Ben Davis coming back. I mean, you've got a lot. Charlie Foster coming back. You know, so the pitching staff is where you've got some guys coming back that can make a big difference. Wire's numbers sound comparable to R.J. Yeager's coming out of Mercer. That's a decent comp. I think Yeager had a little bit more power overall, but this guy can hit the baseball. This is just going to be a good team. It would be really, at this point, I'll be officially surprised if they don't at least host a regional. That would be very disappointing with the roster you've put together to this point. To not host a regional would be very disappointing. Yeah, I really like what O'Connor does. And I'm not surprised, but I am surprised, if that makes sense. Because I knew that if you got the right coach in here with the resources that State has, you could do this. But it's still surprising to see them stacking up the kind of talent they have. And to be winning the battles against, I mean, they're winning battles against Tennessee, against Texas, against LSU. I mean, they are going head-to-head with the top programs in the country and winning those battles. So, just a very, very exciting time, you know, at Mississippi State for baseball. You know, when you think about where State was in the middle of the month of April, and, you know, just kind of trudging through and didn't look like they were going to make the postseason. Then they make the decision to move on from Chris Lemonis. They win their last three series. They win eight of their final nine of their final 10 regular season games. Then you bring in Brian O'Connor. Then he announces he wants to keep Justin Parker. And that has really lit a fire under Parker, I think. And I think he's got a lot to prove this season. He wants to prove that he is, you know, because there was so much talk about other pitching coaches. I think he's got something to prove. He's got a little chip on his shoulder. And he's recruited really, really well this cycle. And then you bring in this portal class. I mean, it's going to be, you know, one of those things where it's almost going to be like the 80s a little bit, where you're just, you know, even in the middle of football season, you're already, you know, well, baseball will be here before you know it. And that's, you know, with a basketball team that I expect to be very good this year and a football team that, you know, we'll see about. But baseball is back in a big way at Mississippi State. Again, I know we got a long way to go and we got games to play. I'm fascinated to see the schedule. You know, you remember last year, State's schedule was weak. There's just no getting around that. They didn't play Tennessee. They didn't play Vandy. They didn't play Georgia. They didn't play Texas A&M, which we thought at the time would have been something, but it ended up not being. I wonder if they're just going to – will they just flip everything the way they did for football? You play the same schedule but just flip the home and aways, or do you – You switch things around. And do you see State Tennessee this year, State Vandy, and State Georgia? You certainly will see State LSU. I don't know if you'll see Texas again. But I don't know. I don't know what the conference plans to do with that. I just know this, that Mississippi State baseball went through 4 years of substandard play. and substandard coaching and substandard results. And the time had come, the time had been past due to make a change. They make the change, and the results are almost immediate. You know, you make the change, and the baseball team, which couldn't get anything done, was sitting at, 7-14, finishes 15-15 in the conference. And then you bring in a new coach, and he puts together the nation's number one transfer portal class. It's pretty incredible. But is it, at the same time, is it? Like, it feels like this is, you know, what you should expect. This is, I've said it, this is it's a top-tier program. They have a ton of support. They have all the facilities you could want. They have the tradition. All that was missing was the guy to drive the car. Well, they got the guy now. I will be literally, if we want to look in the future, and we're talking about 5 years from now, if State doesn't have another national title by then, I will be pretty surprised by that. Our friend, the USM fan, who doesn't understand how everybody works the transfer portal these days, is talking about the transfer portal. I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't understand. It's not 1987 anymore. You either get with the program or don't. I can't help you. I can explain it to you. I cannot understand it for you. This is how college athletics works now. You are in the transfer portal. If you're not, you're losing. Simple as that. You can choose to not be in the transfer portal. You will lose more games than you win. You will not win enough games to keep your job. So I can't help you. It's also, you know, the school you cheer for works the portal as well.
Do they ever not cry?
If by they you mean everybody on the planet, no. Everybody on the planet cries. So I'm not getting into who specifically cries. They all cry. All right, let's switch it to football when we come back. I don't know. Football is... I did an interview today I want to talk about. I want to talk about the interview that I did because I thought it was interesting for a specific reason. So we'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
Something about this song, Rhino, and I don't know what it is. But it makes me think of Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Like, I'm almost expecting to hear Christmas music. Something about the guitars, just that is similar in sound to me. I don't know what it is. A little early for Christmas, though. And that's certainly not Christmas music. Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. If you want to join the show, you do it on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. 1 week from tomorrow, our friend down there in Jackson, Rhino, will be have a lot less hair on his face and his head because we will be at the 13th annual Palmer Home for Children Radiothon, as he has done. How many years in a row?
This will be, I believe, number 12. I don't think I did it the very first year, but all this right. Is the 13th Palmer Home, and I think I've done it every year since the second.
Well, then Rhino will get his annual coif, his annual haircut, tomorrow, once we reach, or next week. What's the goal this year, do you know?
Haven't publicly announced it yet.
Okay. Well, we'll make a good number. And if you are planning to be with us that day, we will certainly hope you are listening in. But more importantly, we're going to hope that you are willing to help us and give to our good friends at the Palmer Home to help the great children of Mississippi who need our help. This is an organization that does not take any government money. They are a faith-based organization. They rely entirely on great people like you. So please join us 1 week from today, the 13th annual Palmer Home for Children Radiothon on Super Talk Mississippi. Earlier today, I got a text from my buddy Cole Kubelik. He was like, hey, could you be on with us today? I was like, sure. And they had me on the show to talk football. And I think it was a total of maybe five questions. The first two were about Josh Hubbard, which I thought were funny. Cole was I think surprised to learn the strength of Mississippi State's NIL reserves when it comes to basketball. But when it came to football, all of the questions were about Jeff Lebby's offense. Offensive line, quarterback, receivers. And I answered the questions and I did the best that I could. I gave him the answers I thought were true. But I was really surprised by those questions. Because to me, the questions for Mississippi State are almost exclusively on the defensive side of the ball. Lebby has earned my trust offensively. I've seen what he's done at prior stops. I thought State was better offensively as the year went along last year. They were bad in the Egg Bowl, but you know what? Everybody was bad offensively against Ole Miss last year. Ole Miss was a great defense. So I don't, but against Tennessee and Missouri and Texas A&M and even Georgia, State was really good offensively last year. They were inconsistent, but they had their moments. Defensively, they were a train wreck. So I was just surprised that everybody was asking me about the offense. And it got me thinking ahead to media days, One of the things with media days is on Mississippi State Day, guys, I'm like the only guy there that on Radio Row, right? There's not another Mississippi State presence there, somebody who covers the team as closely as I do. There are people who come in, but by and large, the radio guys kind of, stick to each other. So I assume I will be getting interviews. Usually on Media Day, Mississippi State Media Day, I'll do four or five, maybe six interviews with different radio shows. And it got me wondering, are they all going to ask me about the offense? Is it all going to be about Blake Shapen and the receiver? Why isn't anybody asking about the defense? That is where the questions lie for Mississippi State. I think State will be a top half of the SEC offense this year. Top eight. I think that's a very reasonable assumption. Now, I am throwing the caveat in there about our favorite quarterback, Blake Shapen, if he's healthy. If Blake Shapen, if he's healthy, is healthy, then yes. If they make a change with Cromon Hawk or if they go to Kamario Taylor, maybe I change that prediction. But I think both those guys can be plugged in and be successful. State has enough talent on the offensive side of the ball, in my opinion, to be a top eight offense in the league. They'll run the ball very well, I think, with Booth and Bothwell and Daniels. Defensively, I would be really pleased with State if they were 13th overall in the conference. I would think that would be a massive jump from where they were a season ago. 13th in the conference and 8th in offense in the conference, probably pushing for a bowl game. But I don't necessarily know that that's where they're going to be. Because, as we've said before, I just don't know that they have the difference makers. Text here on the C Spire text line. I think the reason everybody asks about the offense is because they think they know what we're going to be like on defense. Well, if that's the case, then they don't have a lot of faith in this defense. And I'll be quite honest with you, I don't either. And why should I? They didn't address a huge position of need at the cornerback position. They didn't go out and get any true difference makers. They improved their talent, for sure. But they're relying on a bunch of guys from smaller programs who were productive but not overly dominant. If you get a guy from a program like – I'll just throw a program out there. I'll put it like this. If you get a guy who gives you defensively what Fluff Bothwell gave South Alabama offensively – he was a clearly better than the level he was playing at. That's one thing. But when you get guys who just put up good numbers at lower at group of five, group of six schools, well, then you can say, okay, man, maybe they're better than what you had, but they're not. They're probably not difference makers. And they certainly didn't go in and get anybody from a power four school that you just look at and go, okay, that guy is a difference maker. They got some good players for sure. They improved the overall talent of the defense. But is this still going to be an SEC-caliber defense? I don't know the answer to that. And I'm going to find out real fast, because when they go down to play Southern Mississippi, if Southern Mississippi is able to move the football and score on them, then, yeah, it's going to be a long year in Starkville. The other thing that I found interesting is just, I would think that Lebby has a little bit of credit in the bank with some of these guys. They saw what he did at Oklahoma. They saw what he did at Ole Miss. you know, you got to trust that guy that he's going to get the offensive side of things right. Chapin coming back gives you some continuity there. Booth coming back gives you some continuity. They got a lot to figure out on the offensive line. I'm so fascinated by State's receiver room because that's a group that the coaching staff, you know, I've talked to Levy, I've talked to Bumpus, and they love that group. Absolutely love those guys. But at the same time, there's not even a Kelly Akari. You know, last year when State signed Akari, you were like, okay, this guy, 1,000-yard receiver, he'll be good. Injuries kind of derailed him a little bit. Kevin Coleman, I thought, would be good. This was a guy who was highly recruited out of high school. Goes to Jackson State as part of the Travis Hunter class. Transfers to Louisville. Was productive there. I didn't know that he was going to be a 70-plus catch receiver, but I thought he could be productive. With this group, I feel like I'm guessing if I tell you who I think is going to be the best receiver in that group, I feel like I'm guessing because I don't have anything to lean on production-wise. But Levy loves that group. I mean, he almost, I asked him about it the first practice, and I almost felt like he was laughing at me a little bit. I'm just like, oh, yeah, they'll be fine. Like, don't you worry, Brian. Don't worry your pretty little head. So, all right, that's fine. I'll save my worries for the defensive side of the ball. You speak if he's healthy on shape, and I'll pose the same question I did at the beginning of last year. Do we have a backup who can step in and play? I think so. I think Crumlin Hawk can play. He was very highly recruited out of high school, very highly recruited out of the portal. I think he's a talented guy. And then, I mean, every State fan who knows anything about Kamario Taylor is already chomping at the bit to get him on the field. Chapin throws an incomplete pass there and be like, you know what? Let's go to the freshman. Because that's the future, but you got to build around him. He's not ready to carry this team. He's not Cam Newton. He's not there. I don't know that he'll ever get there, but there's a lot of hope for him, and there should be. He's a talented, talented football player. Physically, he has the gifts that you need to have to be an elite quarterback. We'll see if he puts it all together. But if Chapin goes down, I mean, Van Buren was good last year. He was inconsistent. He made plays where you were like, wow, look at this guy. That's the future of this program. And then he would make plays, you're like, yeah, he's a true freshman. That's what you expect. Crumlin Hawk at least has some more experience. He's a redshirt freshman. He played last year at Florida State. He saw some game time. So he at least has some more experience. Plus, he was here for the spring. So he's worked with Levy. But if Chapin goes down, yeah, it's going to be a blow to this team. That's not an exclusive to Mississippi State problem. I've seen so many people say, well, if Chapin goes down, and a lot of State fans want to turn that around on Ole Miss. Well, if Austin Simmons goes down, guys, if anybody's starting quarterback goes down, 99% of the time, it's a problem. So, you know, it just is what it is. Very few teams have got a backup. They're just like, oh, yeah, we'll be fine if it goes to him. You know, Texas had that last year. I don't know if they have it this year. I don't know who Texas's backup is off the top of my head. So, defensively, though, for State, the jump from abysmal to just bad, if they can make that jump, they can be a bowl team. But if they're still in the abysmal range, putrid, terrible, whatever word you want to use, it's going to be really hard. And Jeff Levy made the decision to keep those guys and keep that staff and keep continuity. So it's on him if things don't go badly. I won't be in the mood to blame Hutzler at that point. I already don't believe in that Hutzler can get it done. I got to blame the guy who kept him around. So we'll see. All right, when we come back, we'll wrap it up. Then I'll be out of here. I got a lot of work to do tomorrow. I got ribs to prep, chicken, sausage, things of that nature. We'll talk about it when we come back. It's Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
For a flipping good time.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Let's wrap things up here on a Wednesday evening. Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Appreciate you on the C Spire text line, as always. Appreciate Rhino. He's pulling us in, pulling into the driveway. So we just got to be careful on that last little bit. So I think I mentioned this on the show, but a few weeks ago, my youngest daughter was talking about something, and she referred to our holiday on Friday as the 4th of America. And I got to be honest with you, I like that. I think I'm going with that. I think tomorrow, or I'm going to start calling it 4th of America. I may try to sell some 4th of America merch. I think it could sell. So hope you guys are all planning for a big 4th of America. What about you, Rhino? Big 4th of America?
I'm planning on going to a friend's cookout that I've been invited to.
There we go.
Besides that,
that's the best case scenario. Now, assuming your friend is a good cook, which I will make the assumption that they are.
Oh yeah, he's actually spent decades being a cook. So yeah.
Oh okay. Now yeah, you got the best case scenario here. No work and enjoy yourself. Fantastic. So I'm doing the cooking for mine. So I got to work. That's why I'm off tomorrow. I gotta prep. I got like 13, 14 people coming over, so I gotta be ready for that kind of thing. But I enjoy it, and I do enjoy getting behind the grill. It's gonna be hot though, but it is what it is. I'm not a big fireworks guy though. I never have been for whatever reason. You know, I enjoy fireworks. If you tell me we're going to watch fireworks, great. But I've never been like the big fireworks guy. So my fireworks are limited usually to social media, where I will make my annual joke about how much King George sucked. Maybe a Dusty Rhodes quote in there. I don't know. See how it goes. For Mississippi State, the fireworks, you know, in case you missed it, have been on the baseball transfer portal. The Bulldogs have the number one class in the country. That USM fan from earlier, he was like, you know, you just bought them. Guys, everybody's buying them, so everybody wants to be number one. Southern Mississippi would be number one if they would like to be number one. If they could be, they would be. Ole Miss would like to be number one. Mississippi State is number one. So that's great for State. Now, those players have got to show up. They got to be good on the field. But right now, this is a class that looks like it's going to be able to carry Mississippi State back to relevance, to the island of relevance. You know. In college baseball. And for me, it's just refreshing. It's refreshing to see. It's refreshing to see Mississippi State say they were going to do something and do it. Too many times before in the past, I've been caught on the, yes, they're going to do this, and then they didn't do it. And this is a time where they did. They said they were going to make the baseball program a priority and treat it like the elite program that Mississippi State fans want it to be. And that's exactly what the point that we've been able to reach here. You know, fall practice will be here before you know it. So, if you missed it, by the way, earlier this week, we had it on Sports Talk Mississippi. We had it on Thunder and Lightning Podcast. My conversation with Josh Hubbard is still available to you on the Thunder and Lightning Podcast feed. So far, I want to give a shout-out to Mississippi State. Brandon Langlois, the Sports Information Director over there. Matt Dunaway, the Basketball Sports Information Director. Made my interviews with Blake Chapin and Josh Hubbard very easy for me. Just had to ask, and they were able to get those guys lined up for me. I asked our baseball SID here at Mississippi State, Logan Lowry, if I can get Ace Reese on, and he said, hey, when Reese gets back into town, that'll be probably next month, by all means. So we're going to try to get that superstar guy on as well. We'll have the sort of the three faces of Mississippi State athletics in the year 2025 on the podcast. Also, and I saved this for the very end, but as you guys know, Robbie Faulk snaked my interview with Brian O'Connor while I was on vacation. That no good scalawag, Robbie Faulk, that award-winning scalawag, took my interview. Well, I have fought back, and I am scheduled to talk to Coach Brian O'Connor tomorrow morning. So even though this is the difference between me and Richard Cross right here. Richard Cross takes days off. He doesn't come to work. I work on my days off. I'm talking to Brian O'Connor tomorrow. I'm off work tomorrow. It's a paid day off. Now, maybe I've fallen into this corporate structure. Maybe I shouldn't be doing that. I shouldn't be giving away my time. But they said he could talk, and I was like, you know what? Let's make it happen. So I'm scheduled to talk to him tomorrow. Should be on the podcast tomorrow, and could possibly be on Sports Talk Mississippi if Borky wants to play that interview while I'm out. So my conversation with Brian O'Connor, it's been a few weeks in the making, but we finally are going to sit down and talk to the new skipper of the Diamond Dogs. So he'll have spoke to both Thunder and Lightning. within a 2 weeks period. I'm excited about that. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to talking to the guy. He's a very interesting coach. Like his opening press conference when I spoke to him then, very intense, in a good way. Not in the make you scared of him way. Make you want to engage with him, kind of intensity. So I'll see what he brings that to our interview tomorrow. So like I said, look for that tomorrow on the Thunder and Lightning podcast feed, or on Friday I should say, on the 4th of July, 4th of America. All right. Guys, have a great holiday. I'll be back with you on Monday. For Rhino down in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
A Super Talk Mississippi media production.